Well, this morning, I'm sure that you have noticed up here that we have lots of presents here and lots of presents on this side. I'm sure at your house, you have maybe a Christmas tree. How many already has presents under your tree? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? Very good. How many still has presents to buy? Would you raise your hand and hold it up high? All right. And yes, Christmas time is a time that we give gifts to one another. We give gifts in symbol and in remembrance of God's greatest gift to you and me. And that is the gift of His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, 2,000 years ago, God gave a gift to the entire world. He gave a gift. The little baby Jesus came wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger for you and me. That was God's gift to the world, because if Jesus Christ had not died on the cross, then the day that you and I die, we would spend eternity in a place called hell forever. But God has made a way for every man, woman, boy, and girl to go to heaven for all of eternity. And that is because of God's Christmas gift to you and me. I have gifts under the tree right now for my children and for my wife. And it is a tradition in our family that on Christmas Day that I get to pass out the gifts. And we open gifts one at a time and we look at what each one another has received. And I enjoy that. But specifically, I have gifts to my wife. And that is something very special for me. And you know something? Those gifts are something that I purchased. Something that I paid for. Something that I did specifically for my wife. It would be a great hurt to me if I were to go out and to purchase a gift for my wife and for her to not even want the gift, not even want to open the gift, not even want to look at what I provided for her out of love for her. Well, brethren, this morning there is a God in heaven who loves you and He loves me. And He has given a gift to you and me. But can I ask you this morning, what will you do with God's Christmas gift? Reminds me of the story of a little boy that just about a week before Christmas, he was kind of searching through the house. You know, kids do that around Christmas time, you know. Look through the house and the closets and all of that. I can remember one year I found all my Christmas gifts before my mom had wrapped them. And I knew everything I was getting that year. But one little boy, he was in the closet and he looked up and he found a nice train set up there in the closet. He grabbed that train set and took off running, came almost out of breath to his mom. He said, "Mom, Mom, you got to call Santa and cancel the order because Dad's got one in the closet, you know?" And Christmas giving and gifts is a special time. I am told that the day after Christmas is actually busier in retail stores than even before Christmas time. Because it is estimated that the day after Christmas, $46 billion worth of merchandise will be returned to stores. It's amazing, isn't it? All the gifts that have been returned might have been because it did not fit. It might be because it was something that you did not like. In fact, they tell us that not everyone tries to return their gift. In fact, according to Consumer Reports, about 18% will try to donate their gift to charity. 15% will try to re-gift the item and give it to someone else next year. 11% will just throw the gift away. And 6% will try to resell the gift, maybe on eBay. And 2% will confront the giver and tell them to return it themselves, you know? That's a blessing, is it not? But it's amazing what happens with gifts. Well, the question today is, what will you do with God's Christmas gift? Will you say, "No, Lord, I do not want that. I'll try to get to heaven some other way"? Will you say, "Lord, I do not appreciate the gift that you've given me"? But all of us will make a decision and we will make a, a specific personal decision about what we do with God's Christmas gift to you and me. We come to Luke chapter number 2, and I want you to notice in verse number 7. Let's begin in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 7, and we will read down to verse number 19. Luke chapter 2 and verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you, would you underline those two little words there, unto you. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. We notice here in Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 11 that the Bible says, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You see, Christmas is really all about Christ. Yes, we enjoy putting up the Christmas tree, and we enjoy putting up the lights. We enjoy the time with family and friends. We enjoy the fellowship that we have together. That is all wonderful, but Christmas time is about celebrating our Savior's birth. Now, let me say this to you. Jesus did not begin in Bethlehem. You see, the Lord has always been. But he chose to take upon himself, the Bible says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We call him Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Think of that. God himself came to redeem man. You see, before the foundation of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. God knew that man would turn against him. God knew that man would sin, and God made a way for man to be saved and man to be redeemed. He gave of himself, and the Lord Jesus Christ was born in that lowly manger. Now, I'm going to be very honest with you. When I think about that day, and you know Mary and Joseph, because of the consensus during that time that was called, and there was a great taxation on the land, they had to come back to their area there in Bethlehem. And you know the story. If I had written the story, I would have made sure that baby Jesus had the best of the best, the nicest clothes, and the nicest situation for him to be born. But he was born in a stable, a barn. Think of that. God himself, the King of all of creation, was born in a lowly manger. But you know something? Even that day, even the innkeeper said, We have no room in the inn. We know that Herod the Great tried to kill the Lord Jesus. We know that the Bible says that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Many people do different things with God's Christmas gift. But what will you do with God's Christmas gift? Number one, some people will reject God's Christmas gift. Lots of gifts up here today, and our church people have spent money to go out and buy these gifts. In fact, they have tags on these, and And the last few weeks, we had these tags on the Christmas tree in the back. And I asked our people, would they take a tag off the tree and go purchase a gift and wrap it and put the tag back on? You know, these gifts have been purchased by our people out of love for the children of our church. And we do love children. We thank God for them, and we want to teach them the truth of God's word. But you know something? These children are going to come this morning and get a gift. You know what it was like when you were a kid getting a gift and thinking about what was inside and shaking the gift and all of that. But can you imagine if some children would say, no, thank you, I don't want a gift. You see, brethren, today, when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, He is God's Christmas gift to you and me. But what will you do with that gift? Some men will reject the gift. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 53, years before Jesus would be born, Isaiah the prophet knew what would happen. The Bible says that He is despised and rejected of men. Do you know that some people rejected the Lord Jesus Christ? Some people today even reject Christ. They say, no, I do not want Jesus Christ. I can get to heaven some other way. And by the way, I don't know that I've ever asked anyone, do you want to go to heaven when you die? Because, brethren, the truth is, when we die, we either go to two places. The Bible tells us we either spend eternity with the Lord in heaven, or we spend eternity separated from God forever in a place called hell. I've never asked anybody, and they've said no, they didn't want to go to heaven. I've asked many people, do you want to go to heaven? Yes, I want to go to heaven. No one wants to spend eternity separated from God in a place called hell forever. But some men and women and even children reject Jesus Christ. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. You see, Jesus was rejected by men. They spit upon Him. They mocked Him. They ridiculed the Lord Jesus. But He came. He came to redeem us. He came to save us. In fact, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 21. May I read this to you? The Bible says, "And she shall bring forth a son." This is speaking of Mary giving birth to the baby Jesus. "And thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." You know something? Jesus Christ came to a world that desperately needed Him, but many of them rejected Him. And Jesus Christ comes to you and me today through the preaching of His word and through others telling us that we need the Lord Jesus Christ. But some people reject Christ. They say, no. No, I'll try to get to heaven some other way. You know, I know good people, sincere people that think that they can be baptized and that's good enough to get to heaven. They think they can do good deeds and that's good enough to get to heaven. They think if they live a good moral life, that's good enough to get to heaven. But can I ask you a question? Would you think of this in your mind and heart? Brethren, if we could save ourselves, why did we need a Savior? If I could save myself, I might be able to save myself in the sense of keeping myself safe. I might be able to save myself and work hard and accomplish things. But brethren, I cannot save myself from dying. You know that nobody here can keep yourself from dying. Death comes to each and every one of us. Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. You cannot keep yourself from dying. You will die and I will die one day. But brethren, you and I cannot keep ourselves from sinning. You know something? Every one of us here today, we are sinners. These children are precious, and I thank God for each and every one of them. You know something? Those children were born into this world just like you and I were born into this world with a sin nature. We are. We're born with the sin nature separated from God. No one has to teach you and me to sin. It's a part of our human nature to sin. It's a part of our nature to lie. Hey, look, I'll tell you something. Little children are some of the best liars in this world. You know it? They are. They are. They're good at it. Guess what? I was good at it too. You were good at it too. We're all good at it. You know why? Because we have a sin nature. And brethren, can I tell you something? It is because of that sin nature. You see, sin has to be paid for. All of these gifts, we didn't just go to the store and grab them. We had to pay for them. There was a price to be paid. And we sin. We sin by choice. And we sin simply by creation. We are born in this world as sinners. But the Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Do you understand that when you reject Jesus Christ, who is the only way to heaven, you will spend eternity in a place called hell, separated from God forever? Some people reject the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Matthew 27 and verse number 22, Pilate saith unto them, this is at the end of Jesus' life, and Pilate had Jesus there before them, and he said, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And you know what they said? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. They said, get him out of our sight. We don't want to see him anymore. We don't want to hear him preach. We don't want to see his life. Let him be crucified. Let's kill the Lord Jesus. And if Jesus came back today, that's exactly what men would want to do to him, to kill the Son of God. You see, brethren, he is despised. He is rejected of men. But brethren, what will you do with God's Christmas gift? Will you receive him? I am thankful. The age is 17 years of age in Knoxville, Tennessee, where I was born and raised. As I was sitting in a Sunday morning service, just like you're sitting here today, and the preacher preached and he told the truth of God's word, I walked the aisle at the invitation time and I got on my knees and I confessed to God that I was a sinner in need of a Savior. And that I could not save myself from my sin. I could not earn my way into heaven. And I knew that Jesus Christ was the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that day I asked God to forgive me and to be my Savior. And brethren, a wonderful thing took place. God adopted me into his family. I accepted God's Christmas gift to me. Will you accept his gift to you? You see, as we think about these different people, what will they do with God's Christmas gift? Some will reject him. Number two, some will receive him. I'm sure all of you have seen little plays before. And years ago, there was a little play. And there was a little boy named Henry. And Henry's job was to be the innkeeper. Now, you know the innkeeper. His job was to turn Mary and Joseph away. He was to say to them, no, there's no room in the inn. Go from here. You cannot stay here. But Henry knew about Jesus. He was a Christian. He'd accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And Henry loved the Lord Jesus. And he got so wrapped up in the play that when it was time for him, he stood out and there is Mary, you know, dressed up as a little girl. And there is Joseph and they're holding baby Jesus. And he said to them, he practiced his lines. He says, there is no room in the inn. And boy, their faces dropped. And Henry got so emotional in the middle of it. He got off line and he said, stop, come. You can have my room, all right? Well, can I tell you this? I wonder, will you let the Lord have room in your life? Will you receive him? Will you say yes to the Lord Jesus? You know, it's amazing to me that God comes to us and God says, I have given the most precious gift of all. I've given my own son. I've given him into the hands of men. In fact, I've made my son take upon him the form of human flesh. God became a man. Do you know that when Jesus walked upon the face of the earth, he was a man, but he was a sinless man. He was the only sinless man that ever walked upon the face of the earth. But he got tired like we get tired. He wept like we weep. He had sorrow just like we have sorrow. He walked among us so that you and I would know that God understands us. He was one of us. But God gave his son and they took him and they crucified him. They plucked out his beard. They spat upon him. They mocked him. They ridiculed him and they killed the Lord Jesus Christ. But God gave that to you and me. And God says, here is my Christmas gift to you. I love you and I want you to be with me in heaven. I've made a way to pay for all your sin debt, and I love you. But would some people say, no, God, I don't want that, and I don't need that? Oh, I'm thankful that so many of you in here, you have come to understand that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you have received the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, brethren, you and I today, He came unto you. Remember what we read in Luke 2:11. The angel said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. I love that little phrase, unto you. Not just to a crowd, not just to a church. He said, I came to you. It was a personal thing. I came to you. And brethren, that's a personal thing today. What if the Lord came to your door and knocked on the door of your house? Would you open the door? Well, brethren, He is knocking. In fact, the Lord said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. Brethren, has there been the day that you have said, Lord, I know that you gave your son, and I say yes to you this morning. I receive you. And by the way, you know what the Lord says to us? He doesn't say, hey, you go get cleaned up and then I'll come. Oh, no. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. God doesn't say, hey, look, you take care of your sins and then come to me. No, He says, come. You see, the Lord forgives us right where we are at. You take the woman at the well. You remember her? She had lived a wicked lifestyle. I mean, she was, in the fact, the Bible says that she was living in a terrible lifestyle. And yet the Lord came to her right where she was. He didn't wait for her to get her life cleaned up and then come to Jesus. He came to her. And the Lord comes to us where we're at. And He asks us, will you receive the Lord Jesus? I'm reminded of what the Bible says. A wonderful verse in John 1:12. It says, but as many has received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. You know, this is a gift. But a gift is only good if it is received. If I were to come up to someone and say, I have a gift for you, they don't have to receive the gift. They can deny the gift. They do not accept the gift. But if they will receive it, and God says to you, I love you. I've given my son for you. I've made a way for you to spend eternity with me in heaven for all of eternity. But you must receive the gift. That's why Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't it a wonderful thing? You know, a gift has already been paid for. You and I cannot work our way to heaven. Yeah, folks, we cannot do enough good things to get there. We cannot say enough of prayers. We cannot memorize enough of words. Brethren, it is simply coming to Jesus, knowing that He is the only way, and accepting His free gift of salvation. You see, some will reject Him. Some will receive Him. But number three, the last thing this morning, some will rejoice in Him. Now, if you're a Christian here today, we should be rejoicing at Christmas time, because we're talking about our Savior. He has come to redeem us, and we have received Him. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and let's go to Luke chapter number 2 and go to verse number 20. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 20. Notice this here, and then we'll read in verse number 22 in just a moment. Luke 2 and verse number 20. The Bible says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Go to verse 22. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought Him to Jerusalem to present Him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. You know, Simeon had waited all of his life to see the baby Jesus. And that day when God revealed it unto him, this is the one. This is the Messiah. Can you imagine seeing Simeon hold that little baby and saying, Lord, this is your salvation. This is the one that you sent to redeem man. He could rejoice in Christ. Today, can we rejoice in what the Lord has done for you and me? Oh, listen, Christmas time is all about Christ. It is all about remembering the greatest gift that God has given you and me. That maybe you're here today. Maybe you do not know if you were to die today, would you go to heaven to be with the Lord? Can I ask you something today? The Lord made a choice. He chose to bleed and die on the cross. But you have a choice. Will you receive Him? Will you accept Him as your Savior? Or will you reject Him? You see, at Christmas time, we need to understand a few things. Number one, we need to understand that we are sinners. We're sinners separated from God. Number two, we need to understand that as a sinner, we need a Savior. Someone has to save us. If a man was in water and he was drowning, he could not swim, he could not save himself. Guess what? Someone else has to save him. He can't save himself. In fact, sometimes the lifeguard jumps in to save him, but he cannot save him as long as he is trying to save himself. He has to wait until he gives up. He has to wait until he allows that person to save them and to rescue them. And so many times people are trying to save themselves, and God steps back and waits. Because you know something? You and I cannot save ourselves. We cannot make ourselves go to heaven. We accept the Lord Jesus Christ. We accept God's Christmas gift to you and me. Years ago, I heard the story. It took place in 1988. There was Anissa Ayla. This was a 16-year-old girl that was diagnosed with a rare form of leukemia. The doctor said that if she did not receive a bone marrow transplant, and that she would not make it. The problem was that neither her parents nor her brother was a match for her bone marrow, and therefore they could not find a bone marrow transplant donor anywhere else. So the mom and dad, God had blessed them with a little baby. Just a few months after they found out about their 16-year-old daughter that was diagnosed with this leukemia. And sure enough, when the baby was just about 12 months old, right at a year, the doctors were able to literally do a bone marrow transplant from a little baby because she matched this 16-year-old girl. Well, today, both of these sisters are healthy and well. And the younger sister says, without me being a perfect match for my sister, she would not be here. And brethren, can I tell you something? Nobody in this world is a perfect match for you and me except Jesus Christ, God's Christmas gift. Someone perfect and sinless has to save us. Not our works, not our family heritage. It is only Jesus Christ. That is why He came to the cross and gave of Himself the greatest gift of all, the greatest evidence of love of all, the greatest evidence that He cares for you and me. He was willing to give of Himself. But what will you do with God's Christmas gift? Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted that free gift. Then today, would you accept the gift? Would you say, yes, Jesus, I receive you. God's Christmas gift to you and me. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning.